We're going to pray and prepare our hearts for God's word. Very important, the condition of your heart when you receive the word of God. Father, we just thank you for the word. We believe that it is alive and powerful and speaks to us today. And so, Father, I ask that you give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, that our hearts are open and receptive, that the seed of the word of God would find good soil in our lives and bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said it several times. Find those words over and over in the New Testament. One translation says, if a man has ears, he should use them. Well, a lot of times in the Old Testament, the Lord would say things like, hear, O Israel. And then he would speak to them, hear, O Israel. In the book of Revelation, there's seven churches that he speaks to, and to each one he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I'm telling you, God wants us to hear. He wants us to listen. James 1:19, it says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I think in the context of that passage and the way that verse is worded, he's mainly talking about in our relationships with one another. That's a great word. I'd like to teach on that. We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. But I wonder, what if we applied that principle to our relationship with God also? I mean, if it's true that we should be quick to listen to others and slow to speak, certainly we ought to be that way with the Almighty. So I honestly believe that you should talk to God and even pour your heart out to God. But I also think that too much of the time we do way too much of the talking. I mean, it stands to reason if he gave you two ears and one mouth, you ought to do twice as much listening as talking. And I just think that we need to have ears to hear when it comes to the Lord. We need to be listening. We need to be quick to listen, swift to hear, and slow to speak. As you read the Gospels about the life of Jesus, it's so evident that he was always listening for his Father's voice. He had ears to hear. Jesus walked in perfect obedience. And you know, you can't do that if you don't listen for his voice, if you don't have a hearing ear. John 8:25-29, it says, they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Well, that's what every preacher ought to be doing. But you know, that's what every believer ought to be doing. As we share our faith with other people, we're not pushing a religion, as some want to say. We're sharing our faith. We're sharing Jesus with them. And we want to say exactly what the Father would have us to say. Let me just kind of let you off the hook on that, all right? Listen, Jesus didn't reach everybody. Neither are you. Next time that you don't manage to reach somebody, just remember, Jesus didn't reach everybody. But our responsibility is to obey God, to hear his voice, and to do what he tells us to do, to say what he tells us to say. Verse 27, he says, they did not understand, or it says, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And I want to tell you, if you're going to please God in your life, you got to learn to hear. You got to have a listening ear and hear the voice of the Lord. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus just said, he just repeated what the Father told him to. He's our example, church. And because he always did what the Father told him to, he always said what the Father told him to say, he said, I always please him. What a great testimony. But Jesus heard the Father's voice, did what the Father told him to do. And I want to tell you, if Jesus is our example, that's what we've got to do. We've got to learn to hear our Father's voice and just obey his voice. You know, none of us is just like Jesus yet, right? None of us has arrived yet, right? And so I want you to understand, this is a work in progress. None of us is there yet. And when it comes to hearing the voice of God, none of us has arrived yet. None of us has it all together. I mean, I know there's some people that, you know, they talk like they have three-hour conversations with God every day. And, well, let's just put it this way. A lot of times the fruit just ain't there. You know what I'm saying? But it ought to be a work in progress, though, that we are learning to hear the Lord's voice and that we are seeking to have an ear to hear. To hear him speak to us every day. I want to tell you, make sure you understand, I'm not talking about hearing with the natural ear, although God can certainly speak in an audible voice if he wants to, but we have to learn to hear with the ears of our heart. We have to learn to hear in our spirit, to hear that, as the Bible calls it, a still small voice, knowing that he's speaking to us. You know, a lot of the time, the problem is that voice, that still small voice, gets drowned out by all the other voices that we allow in our life. See, people think it's strange and think it's difficult and just maybe even beyond them to hear the voice of God. And yet, one of the most obvious obstacles and roadblocks to that is all the other voices that we intentionally allow in our lives. It's one of the problems with all of the technology and the media of our generation. I don't think there's ever been a generation of Christians. When you read the Bible and you read about church history, I don't think there's ever been a generation of Christians that have had as much trouble in hearing the voice of God as our generation. Every generation before the 19th century didn't have any trouble saying, God spoke to me. But in our generation, and there's several reasons, but I'm just telling you, one of the main reasons is because our lives, our ears are so full of so many other things. I've used this example before, but it just, you know, it's easier to talk about our teenagers instead of us, but when we used to take the teenagers on a retreat every year. In fact, they still do this same thing every year, still do the exact same thing. They go to Tishomingo, Oklahoma, where they're out there in nature, and you know, it's quiet, and you can actually see all the stars. But they don't allow them to use their cell phone unless they have to call their mommy. That's the one thing they can use their cell phone for. But they don't let them use their cell phones. They don't take their iPads or their computers. They don't take their iPods even. They don't They'd get away from the internet and the TV and all their electronics. And then there's a time on Saturday when they tell the kids, we want you to go out and just pray and read your Bible. And then we want you to come back. And if you want to, we want you to share what God spoke to you. And how in the world, it's so amazing to hear you got 13, 14, 15-year-olds who have never, ever said, God spoke to me. And because they got away from all their electronics and all their stuff, and they sat down with their Bible with a hearing ear, all of a sudden they're saying, and God spoke to me. And I'm just telling you, that shouldn't be something that just happens once in a while to a teenager. It ought to be something that happens in our life on a regular basis. And I'm really not, I don't like to be this clothesline preacher where I'm preaching again everything. You know what I'm saying? But I just got to tell you, sometimes you got to turn the music off and turn the TV off and turn the internet off. Get off of Facebook. Get rid of your phone. It's no wonder that you can't hear from God when you're so tuned in to all that other stuff. Okay, God, speak to me. I didn't get nothing. Get back on Facebook, see what's going on with everybody else, see what other voices I can listen to. Pilate didn't listen to his wife when she warned him, don't do anything to Jesus, he's innocent. Jesus even himself told him, everybody that belongs to the truth listens to me. But Pilate didn't hear with his heart because he was listening to the voices of the people. And I'm telling you, God speaks to us. But a lot of the time, all we're hearing is the voices that drowned out, the loud voices, the pressing matters. Luke 23:23-24, it says, the voices of the people, these were the people calling out to Pilate. It says they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. His wife told him, she was warned in a dream. She says, don't do anything to this man. He's innocent. Jesus told him, if you listen to the truth, you'll listen to me. But the voices of the people prevailed. And I'm telling you, that's what happens a lot of the time in our life when it comes to hearing from God, is the voices of the people prevail. Now, it might not be actual people. It might be situations and circumstances. It's your responsibilities, all kinds of things that you think are so important that you end up missing hearing what God was trying to tell you. So many voices in this world. Sometimes even, and you know, I want to say this very clearly. God uses other believers to speak to us many times. And that's very, very scriptural. I mean, it's a scriptural pattern that God uses people. And he'll give somebody a word that you need. That's very scriptural. But you know, sometimes even a well-meaning believer can be that voice that distracts you from what God was really saying. How about Peter? When Jesus is telling him about how he's going to die, and Peter says, no, Lord, this will never happen. And Jesus says to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus wasn't going to listen to that voice. But I'm just telling you that if we're going to hear the voice of the Lord, we got to learn to have ears to hear, to tune in to his voice and close out, get away from all the other voices. There's that voice of reason. Anybody ever heard of that? That's where you just, you know, you do the logical thing. And you better know that you heard from God before you make mud with your spit and put it in somebody's eyes. But I'm just saying, though, that you can't listen to the voice of reason and the voice of God at the same time. You got to decide that you're going to tune in to His voice and listen to His voice. Now, I will say that most of the time when I've seen people do kooky stuff, it wasn't God speaking to them because, again, the fruit wasn't there. But if you make mud and put it in somebody's eyes and they're healed from blindness, that's a good thing, amen? But I'm just telling you that you can't listen to the voice of reason when you're trying to hear from God. You got to tune into His voice and not be concerned about what is somebody else going to think. So often it's the circumstances of life that speak so loudly that rather than us making our decisions because we heard from God, we make our decisions dictated to us by what the circumstance tells us to do. How we need to learn to hear from God. Instead of just reacting to life like unbelievers, instead we obey our Father's voice. I know this is spiritual message. This is for disciples. And I realize that if... Well, I'm just going to keep going, all right? Jesus is our example, and I'm telling you, He never reacted to situations and circumstances and people. He responded as the Father instructed Him to. And you see that when He's dealing with the Pharisees. You see it when He's dealing with the woman at the well. You see it in all kinds of situations where Jesus doesn't just react to the people and what they're saying and what they're doing, but He says the things, you know, that go right to the heart. He knows exactly what to say because He's listening to the Father. And oh, how we need that. Mark 1:35 through 38. Mark chapter 1, 35 through 38. Jesus said, "Follow me." And if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to imitate Jesus, here's what Jesus did. Now, He just finished healing many, many people. And it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, He went out and departed into a solitary place. And there He prayed, and Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. When they found Him, they said to Him, 'Everyone's looking for you.'" Now, He's been in this city. He's healed so many people, and people were freed from demons, and tremendous miracles have happened. And so the disciples, they go out looking for Him, and they're telling Him, "Hey, everybody's looking for you. They want you to come back. They want you to do some more. There's more people that need to be healed, more people that need demons cast out. Everybody's looking for you." Most of us would have gone back to the same town because of the needs and because everybody's saying that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm just telling you, every pastor, anybody that's ever been in ministry knows what I'm talking about when I say you can't always just do what the people tell you to do, or that's all you'll ever do. You won't be obeying God, you'll just be obeying people. In fact, that's what some people think ministers are supposed to do. I've seen those churches. I've been in those churches. If you don't do what we say, we'll get us a boy who will. But how much better it is when you get somebody that'll hear from God. And that's what we need in our own personal lives, all of us. We need to be listening for the voice of the Lord, not just listening to the crowd and what the voices say we should do, or what, listen, even what responsibility says we should do. I realize that you could take this some of the things that I've said tonight, and you could take it and go off the deep end with it, but I'm telling you, we need to realize that when it comes to responsibility, none of us compares to Jesus. He had the weight of the world. When it comes to responsibility, we're just playing compared to Jesus. And yet, in all of his responsibility, he found time to get alone with his heavenly Father. See, some of us actually think in our minds, we tell ourselves, well, I don't have time to just sit and wait. Well, that's because you're not important enough. Because if we really realize how important we are, we would know we can't just go bullheaded off out into our day and just without even listening to God and paying attention. And we miss divine opportunities and situations where God could have used us to make a difference in eternity. Everybody all right? Most of you. Some of you are thinking hard. Verse 38, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. He didn't even go back. First he leaves and goes off in this prayer time. But then he didn't do what the voices, what everybody was saying to do. He goes to the next town. He realized the Father told him. He couldn't stay where he was. There were too many towns he had to reach. He kept going. Luke 5:15 and 16. See, the truth is if Jesus didn't hear his Father, he would never have been able to do the things that he did. Luke 5:15 and 16. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So what would we do? I mean, here's all the people coming around. Let's get a bigger PA system. We're going on TV. I don't know. I'm just trying to get this across to you that here's the multitudes, everybody. What does he do? What's his response to that? He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And I'm just telling you, don't separate the two. The reason that so many were healed, the reason he was so fruitful, he was so powerful, so effective, is because he often pulled away into the wilderness and he prayed. We need to learn that if we want to be fruitful, if we want to have a greater impact in this world, I mean, you can preach to people, you can talk to people all day long and not do anything but make somebody mad. And I told you already, Jesus didn't reach everybody, but he sure did reach a lot. And God can give you just the right words. And you may not even know why you're saying what you're saying to somebody. But it's the Holy Spirit who has given you what you need to say to that person. That's an awesome thing. I'm sure that Jesus heard the voice of the Father even as he was ministering to people. But I also see this pattern over and over that he withdrew himself for times of solitary prayer, just to be alone with his Father. And if Jesus is our example, listen, do you think it was necessary for Jesus to do that? I can assure you it was. Jesus didn't waste any time. He wasn't wasting time. He did that because he needed to do that. He needed to be alone with his Father. If Jesus needed to do that, do you think you and I need to do that? Next, I want to encourage you to have time for the Word of God. Want to hear from God? He's spoken to us through His Word. In fact, so often when He speaks to us now and He gives us a rhema word, He gives us a living word, it is when He's taking the Logos, the written word, and He's speaking something to us by the Spirit straight from the Scripture. It comes alive to us. And almost all of you have had that experience where you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden something just comes alive to you. And I just want to encourage you that God speaks to us through His Word. In fact, the Word is so important. Even when you hear that still small voice, it's one of the ways that you know that it was God and not just some goofy thought that popped in your head. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if you don't get confirmation in the Scriptures, then it's probably just some goofy thought that you had. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it's not God, because He doesn't ever contradict Himself. And I know Jesus didn't carry around a leather-bound King James version of the Bible like some people think He did. I had a guy get mad at me one time because I preached out of the NIV after the service. He told me that, he didn't like that. I thought he was kidding. I mean, I'd met a lot of religious people, but I'd never met anybody quite that ugly. And so I said to him, I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to use the King James like Jesus did." And he said, "That's right." Anyway, just... By the way, just in case anybody doesn't understand, I want to clarify for you. The King James Version of the Bible was written 1,600 years after Jesus, okay? So Jesus didn't carry around a King James Version of the Bible. But anyway, I know Jesus didn't carry around a King James Version of the Bible, but He knew the Scriptures. Over and over, He said, "It is written," and He talked about the Scriptures from the Old Testament. He knew the Scriptures. He knew the Word of God. And we need to know the Word. We need, as I preached at Sunday, we need to be students of the Word. We need to be seeking God and His Word and expecting Him to speak to us through His Word. And as you do, you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and you listen for the voice of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you might turn over to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." That's enough, isn't it? I mean, if we just got that one verse, we got to spend time with the Lord Jesus. "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, I've heard a lot of people try to abuse the last part of that verse. Ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Listen, you got to take it in the context of the passage. And that is, Jesus is talking about being fruitful. Jesus is talking about having an impact in this world, making a real difference. I believe He's talking about effective ministry. And He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it'll be done. That promise is absolutely true. "By this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." I'm so glad you're here on Wednesday night. We'll talk bad about those people that only come on Sundays, all right? No, not really. I'm going to make it a little more extreme than that, I'm afraid, but do you realize that in the body of Christ today in America, they say that on any given Sunday, somewhere between 60 and 70% of a congregation is probably not there that day? Now, I think ours is better than that, but we have a lot of people who come about once every 2, 3, 4 weeks. And here's the sad thing about that, that if they can't even find time in their schedule to go to church and worship God and hear the word preached once a week, there's no way that they're sitting and listening for the voice of God and hearing from God every day. Now, I'm making a blanket statement there, and I'm sure you can find some prophet somewhere who never goes to church, but he's spending 3 hours a day in God's presence. I've met some of those characters. But anyway, I'm just telling you how the body of Christ in America is so missing it, because we're missing this basic thing of learning to sit and to hear and know the voice of God. It's such a powerful principle. If we just get a hold of that, that if we'll abide in Jesus and let His Word abide in us, ask what you will. What fruitfulness. He says you'll bear much fruit. I was reading in Isaiah chapter 44 today where it talks about how the idolater gets a piece of wood. And I just want to laugh every time I read this passage, because if you think God doesn't have a sense of humor, you ought to see the way He makes fun of the idolater. Because he cuts down this tree, gets him a piece of wood, and from part of it, he makes him this idol that he's going to cry out to and pray to and fall down and worship. And the other part of it, he lights a fire and cooks him some food. But here's the point I want to make to you. This idol can't respond. He prays to it, he cries out, he falls down, he says, "You are my God, save me." You know what the stick does? The block of wood? It can't do anything. It can't speak to him. But I'm telling you, we serve a living God who not only can move on our behalf, but He speaks to us. He's not deaf and mute. He speaks. And He doesn't change. It just grieves me in this generation of religious America, all these Christians that want to act like God no longer speaks. When did that start? He spoke in the garden. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Lot through the angels. Listen, He spoke to Eli. He spoke to young Samuel. He spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. He spoke to David. He spoke to Solomon. All through the Bible, He spoke to people. And yet most Christians today think you're kooky if God speaks to you. You can talk to God all day long. It's like talking to a block of wood. As long as He doesn't talk back, that's cool. But I'm telling you, our God is not a block of wood. He's a living God. And He does speak. The problem is that we got to have ears to hear. Now I tell you that God can knock you off your horse. He can speak to you in an audible voice. He can write on the wall. He can speak to you any way He wants to. But let me tell you, He chooses almost always to speak this way, by a still small voice. And if you don't want to listen, he's not going to override you. In fact, I honestly believe this. If we don't respect Him enough to listen, we won't hear. He won't force His way. I know talking about hearing from God is such a dangerous subject because there's so many nuts out there. There's a lot of nuts driving cars, but I still drive one. I'm not going to let nuts keep me from hearing from God. Just because they're kooky and bringing shame on the name of Christ, acting like God spoke to them and when he didn't, I'm not going to stop seeking to hear the voice of God. It's just part of the Christian life. Jesus says in John 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Why is it we have such a hard time believing that God speaks? Well, I mentioned this already, that just in our culture, people think that if you say God spoke to you, then you're a kook. I mean, mainstream media has convinced this generation that only crazies say, God talked to me. Hollywood depicts anybody that says, the Lord told me, as a weirdo. And so many believers, because they want to be socially acceptable, they try to fit in with that, and so they no longer say, God spoke to me. They don't even want God to speak to them because they don't want to be one of those kooky people. I don't want to be a kooky people, but I want to be like Moses, who talked to God face to face as a man with his friend. I want to be like Abraham, who God called his friend. I want to be like Paul, when the Lord says, I want you to go to this place instead. I want to be able to hear and know his voice like that. People don't believe God speaks because they've seen too many phonies saying, God told me. Now, I'm not just talking about the crazies. I'm talking about people who, not crazy people, but they say God told me when God didn't speak to them. You ever had somebody say that you said something that you didn't say? Well, I can assure you it happens to me a lot. Got an email the other day where somebody's telling me what I said in quotes. They're saying in quotes, this is what you said. I was like, I did? No, I didn't say that. I had to go get the CD and listen to the whole entire message to make sure I didn't say that. But you know, it's so irritating when somebody says you said something and you didn't say it. How do you think God feels about it when people say, well, the Lord told me. And the last thing I want is for our church to become a church full of kooky, goofy phonies saying, God told me, God told me, God told me, when God didn't tell you. But how we do need to hear the voice of the Lord, have ears to hear, be listening for that still small voice to lead and guide us to know, not just in the big decisions, but even the little things of life. Another reason people have a hard time believing God speaks in our culture is we only believe what we can see and hear and feel and smell and taste with our natural senses. And there's so much of that, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's not faith. God operates in the things not seen. He speaks in a way most often that the natural ear doesn't hear. In fact, if you're just listening for audible voices, and I'm going to say this, if you're just listening to thoughts that pop in your head, you're going to get misled. Most often, it is that inward witness. It is that knowing inside. It's in your heart that you know that God has spoken to you. But people have such a hard time with that because they're not willing to put aside the natural senses and listen on the inside. It's difficult for people to believe God speaks because it goes against dead religion. This religious world would rather study about God and debate theology than to know Him personally and talk to Him. They'd rather keep God at a safe distance. And one of the ways that you do that is by saying that God doesn't speak to people. So many believers that even think God doesn't speak. It threatens their security of their little religion of who God is and who they want Him to be. I'm telling you, when you start hearing the voice of the Lord, it'll mess you up sometimes. I guess I'm not communicating very well, but I'm just telling you that you think you've got things figured out or you think you know what to do. You start hearing the voice of God and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute. See, as long as you don't believe God speaks, you don't have to worry about God changing your plans or getting in your business and messing things up. But you know, I'm about to close, but you know, to my knowledge, there's no record in the Bible where Pharisees said, well, the Father spoke to me and said, Jesus said it over and over again. Always referring to His Father and talking about how He does what the Father tells Him to. Listen, who do we want to be like? I don't want to be a Pharisee who God never speaks to. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to be like Jesus and learn to hear my Father's voice daily. Listen, He wants to talk to you. Revelation 3:20. This is written not to unbelievers. It's not written to the lost. It's fine to use it in a salvation message. I think that's great. But that's not who it was written to. It was written to the Laodicean church. It's written to a lukewarm church. And here's what He says to them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice... If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He's not talking about food. He's talking about an intimate relationship. He's talking about fellowship. It's not just you talking to a block of wood. It's you having communion with Almighty God. And He says, if you'll open the door, if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. In verse 22, He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To who? To the church. We need to listen for His voice. Have ears to hear. Father, I just thank You for the privilege, the honor. Lord, how awesome to hear the voice of God. I pray, Father, that You would teach us. Help us learn, Lord, to hear Your voice. Help us, Father, to pull away from the busyness of life, the responsibilities, and all the other voices, that we might truly hear You. Lord, that we might know You more intimately, that we might be more effective and fruitful for You. Oh, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that in this body of believers there just be a real hunger and desire for that. Lord, that we would just be discontent to have anything less than that kind of experience with You. That we see in the Scriptures and we see in the apostles and we see in the Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray that tonight it just began to stir in us, Lord. To turn a listening ear to You. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I'm going to let you be dismissed. Keep your ears open. Be listening. He's speaking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you'd like prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, just go. And as you go, love one another. Be a blessing to somebody.